Hello?
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
General Odom is on the line. Hold on. Thank you.
General Odom, thank you very much for calling me back.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I think I had indicated to you that I'm writing a story for Naval History Magazine about the USS Liberty and the developments concerning that little fated ship. I wondered if you had any comments on the fact that several of the directors of NSA and their deputies have called the incident based on intercepts and other data a deliberate action against an American ship.
I don't know the details in the sense that I've not reviewed all the evidence. It was not a high priority thing for me to deal with when I was a director.
Excuse me, by the way, is it all right if I take electronic notes here?
So I can do that, yeah.
I'm slow writing, and I, of course, pass over before we go to press on.
Okay. As I said, I've never looked in any detail at the evidence. It was conventional wisdom, when it was very infrequently discussed during my tenure, that indeed it was an intentional act. Some other people have disputed that, and so I really don't know. I have no reason to challenge the judgments of those other directors.
Right. You were there. What was your
85 to 88.
Yeah. And in 81, NSA did a report on the incident. Mr. Gerhardt was the author of that. It's mostly redacted still, but there's some parts that have come out. Did you have a chance to review any of that?
No, I never looked at that.
And you didn't really discuss the incident with any of the folks?
No, you see, we were so busy with current events.
Right.
To have time to go back and get into those things was, you have to find it from a very busy day. So I'm going to give that very high priority.
Can you say what the deputy director for production's job was, or where he stood in the hierarchy of the...
I don't know what you mean by deputy director. I never heard of a deputy director for production.
For production. Do you remember General John Morrison? I think
he was the director of operations.
Okay, but the production...
Yeah, I mean, they put out product, if that's what you mean.
Right. Okay. And, well, I guess that kind of covers it, but in general, your impression was that the thing could have been anything other than...
I never heard anybody during my time out there make the argument that it was not deliberate. And it just wasn't a disputed issue.
Right.
At least nobody ever told me it was a disputed issue. But, again, I can't say that from close examination of the evidence.
Do you remember when it happened, or your impressions of
that? Yeah, that was way back when, the 60s.
No, it was 67. Yeah,
67 more, sure.
Yeah.
I wasn't, I was in, where was I then? I guess I was teaching West Point then. It wasn't the first thing on my agenda, but yeah.
Right. Yeah, what I've come up with, frankly, is sort of a consensus between Dr. Cordella and Mr. Carter and former Director Helms and other folks, that it's impossible that you could have a long attack on a ship that didn't have any guns sticking out and did have a flag sticking out, and didn't think that it was anything other than...
I mean, why they did it may be a much more defeated issue, but I don't think... It's pretty hard to say they didn't know what they were doing.
Do you know anybody who was in a position at that time to...
Since more recently, I've heard someone express skepticism. Notra Trulock, is that a name you know?
I do know that name, but I haven't spoken.
Well, he used to work at NSA, and apparently he has looked at some. And I've heard him say that... I don't think he really says they didn't know what they were doing. I think he has something a little more forgiving for the Israelis. But, he'd have to explain that to you. I don't really know what his arguments are. I couldn't repeat them.
He lives in the area?
I think he does. I'm not really sure where, but he dropped by. He's just written a book about his experiences with the Ho Win Lee, the fair out at Los Alamos. And I think his book is, what you've seen in the press about Ho-Win Lee is, I think, a very distorting story. It's not distorting in the sense that the case was biased to the prosecution, and I think the courts, what they had to act on, the judges had to act on, that's understandable. What's more abominable is the FBI, at least according to his story, Win Ho Lee was a double agent for the FBI, and then started double dealing the FBI. And then the FBI, when Notre Trulock was making the FBI look bad.
Yeah.
And so they do their traditional thing. If you start making them look bad, you become the enemy instead of the enemy.
You, seeing the books, happen to see Mr. Bamford's book on the agency?
Well, I've just written a book called Fixing Intelligence, in which I point out, in a footnote, I point out in the text that Mr. Bamford's book, The Puzzle, I've never read the more recent one, but Mr. Bamford's book, The Puzzle Palace, was used by the KGB to debrief Ronald Pelton when he went to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Chinese intelligence used Bamford's book to target and to help their analysts with NSA. And I compare it. I say you can't, certainly not a one-to-one equal, but there's some striking analogy between H.O. Yardley's book, The American Black Chamber. Are you familiar with that old book?
No.
1931-32?
Oh, I have heard about that, yes.
He ran the Army Signet in World War II. World War One, and he had really broken. He broke the war, Japanese naval codes, diplomatic codes, and allowed the U.S. government to have a huge advantage in the Washington Naval Conference in 1921. And then in 1929, when Henry Stimson became Secretary of State, the state paid half the bill, and the War Department paid the other half of the bill. He closed it down. He said, "Gentlemen, don't open other gentlemen's mail."
Right.
And so Bamford was going out on the street. I mean, not Bamford, Yardley was out on the street. And he had a very good pen. He's a good journalist and a good card player. So he wrote a book called America's Black Chamber. You can still get it. It's a fascinating book.
Mm-hmm.
He explains all of his signet efforts and how he bamboozled the Japanese. And 9,000 copies were printed in Japanese Japan.
Wow, that's interesting.
And so it's not surprising that we didn't know about Pearl Harbor. And his next book in 38 was Impounded. Well, Bamford's book, it strikes me, has possibly having alerted and educated a sufficient number of foreign governments to have seriously damaged the U.S. agency.
There are a lot of...
And I'm saying that, you know, it certainly got to be a contributing factor to 9/11.
You don't particularly care a whole lot for Mr. Bamford, then, I think.
Well, as I pointed out, I don't call him a liar, but I point out in a footnote that he has always denied ever working at NSA, that he just got this out of unclassified stuff. I have seen his non-disclosure statement, in which he promises never to divulge anything about SIGINT, according to 18 U.S. Code 798, and when he was a Naval Security Group enlisted man working in NSA, something he vehemently denies to the public.
That's amazing. I had not heard that before.
Well, I put it out there because this bastard's been getting away with it. And my predecessor, Link Farr, I think really wanted to prosecute Bamford.
Right.
And the present incumbent director gave him a book party.
It's disturbing. Did you know Oliver Kirby, by the way?
It's a name I can't put a face to. Yeah, I've heard him, but I don't know him.
He had some interesting things to say about intercepts regarding the Liberty. One of the things that irks the Liberty veterans is that their own government didn't stand by them and accepted Israel's explanation without further ado. Is that something that's unusual in our practice?
I think that's a surprising behavior by our government and not very conscious.
Not conscionable?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they would like to, of course, these guys see a full-bore congressional investigation into the incident, not just on combat readiness or damage control. Would you think that would be a good idea?
We've had it on all sorts of other things where there weren't people's deaths involved, so
yeah.
I don't see how you can make a good argument against discovering the truth and making it public.
Mm-hmm. Other than maybe for domestic political reasons?
Well, I'll let you draw their conclusion.
Finally, one thing that they say, the Liberty people say, puts the lie to the idea that this was anything other than a deliberate assault was that the Israelis for 40 minutes stood around after the torpedo had gone off and the ship was motionless and were shooting the ship and the life bearers, the life rafts and the rescue personnel. You know, after you throw life rafts in the water and they get machine gun, that gets kind of desperate as far as saying this was an accident. It seems to me, but I'm still in the data collecting mode.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know how happy they were, the survivors and families.
Well, they have an award-winning website, which is very interesting to see, called USSLiberty.com.
Uh-huh.
And, apparently there were 12 or 14 guys who were there as eyewitnesses and saw the life rafts get shot to pieces. And that kind of convinced them that it's really didn't want anybody to live through this thing.
Well, yeah, I understand why they might feel that way. And to me, that's why I said I don't think it's responsible that the government has done something about learning the full unvarnished truth and taking appropriate action.
When you were at the West Point, did you teach on this, or did you look into it at all, or discuss it with
the No, I taught Soviet politics, Russian history, European history. So it wasn't an issue there.
If I have a follow-up or two, do you have an email address, General, where I could contact you?
Why don't you do it through my system here, diane@hudsondc.org.
By the way, U.S. Naval Institute has published on this before. Naval Institute Proceedings magazine has covered this.
Do you have your electronic machine off?
I will put it off now.